Football's here. Well, at least our previews are. MWCConnection.com is our website. This is the Mountain West Connection podcast. Thanks for finding us, however you did, through Google Play, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud. Is that it, guys? Anywhere else?
Did you say iTunes?
Pocket Casts.
I said iTunes, yeah. I appreciate Pocket Casts as well, yes.
Are we on Google Play yet?
We are, yes.
There you go.
And
that the three of us.
And don't forget and Stitcher Radio.
Yeah, Stitcher. Did you guys not hear anything I said at the beginning? Because I mentioned all both of those.
Whatever your preferred platform for podcast listening is, chances are you will find us there.
And exactly. We have a tendency to ignore everything you say.
I appreciate that. So, I'm Jeremy Moss here. That was Chris Andres, who brings the snarkiness. Appreciate it, as always. And Matt Kennerly as well. So, we're all here to talk about Hawaii football. Is that okay with everybody? Can we start off with a new team instead of what we did for the past years, go alphabetical? Is that going to freak people out too much?
The only disappointing thing is we don't have Norm Chow to kick around anymore.
Oh, Grandpa
Norm. And we don't have Robert Kekula on the show. But, you know, that's besides the point.
Sure. Well, we probably wouldn't have been able to get him on tonight anyways, because there's do you hear what happened to his family kind of recently?
No.
Something with his father, so that he's probably not going to wouldn't be available for anything. So wish him well. Hope everything get through what's going on. But let's talk some football, and hopefully that's a better, a good subject. Hawaii football, like we said, no more Norm Chow. And maybe we should tell people what we're doing here before we just jump into it. This is our previews. We're going to go Western Division first in some random order. I think we're going worst to first, but based off last year, but that's debatable. So that's kind of what we're doing. And so we'll go from there.
Who are you next, mate? San Diego State.
Well, you never know. I said it might be order, but yeah, we'll do these once a week, so this will fill out your off season. So hopefully these work out well for you. You enjoy it and you listen to it all. These aren't going to have too much timely news in here because it's season previews. And so unless something big happens, we'll let you know. But that's not going to happen until July with media day. But let's get to it. So let's start with Matt really quick. New head coach, Nick Grolovich, for those who aren't aware, former Nevada offensive coordinator, former Hawaii football player. What I know it's stupid to give grades, but it's freaking May. What grade would you give the hire for the Warriors?
I mean, it's not what we in the biz call a sexy hire, but you know, Rolovich is a guy who's familiar with what it takes to win on the Big Island. So, you know, I give them credit for that. Like, if you know, I'll hand it over to Chris, but I would give it probably like a B- overall.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm with grades. I'm with a good B minus. Actually, I'd even bump it up to a B. You're talking about a guy who helped develop the run and shoot system while he was at Hawaii. And then after became familiarized with the pistol the last couple of years under Chris Ault and then Brian Polian. So he is well versed in his offenses. And that's kind of really what Hawaii needs, is they need, you know, they need both an offense and a defense. But a good offense will be very characteristic of Hawaii, and the rest will kind of take care of themselves.
Yeah, I think it's good. Outside of people somehow wishing June Jones would have came back, this is probably the best they could do, because they haven't been very good for the past couple of years. And getting a guy who's familiar with the system, like they were interviewing a guy who didn't even coach high school football the year before, like a serious candidate to be a head football coach at an FBS school. And so getting Rolovich, I forget the other candidates, June Jones was tossed around, the high school guy, a few other people, but I agree. It's good enough. My enthusiasm is not there by saying it's good enough, but it's probably the best they could have done. So we'll see what they do. What they did in spring, there wasn't really a ton about what we got from them for Hawaii. They did a 63-play scrimmage, And it was all situational stuff. So like, here's red zone stuff. Here's this, here's this, here's that. So we don't really know too much what they're going to be. If it's going to be odds of bringing the pistol, I think both of you would agree, it'd probably be slim to none. It's probably going to be more of a pro set, but more like kind of like the New England Patriots a little bit, where you're going to go three wideouts a lot, pass a lot, but still have a good balance, if that makes sense.
Well, I mean, to that point, did they ever hire a new offensive coordinator to replace the guy who left for Boise after like 3 weeks?
Oh, that's right. They did. We should look into that. That's a good question.
I actually just checked their official athletics website for their roster and coaches.
What do they got?
They have nobody.
So is Nick Rolovich perhaps? Coaches in general, you mean?
Yeah, well, I mean, they have a defensive coordinator, but they don't have anybody who's listed as an offensive coordinator. And so, like what you were just saying about, you know, the history of the offense that he's been exposed to, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if it were like, you know, a little bit of spread and a little bit of, you know, pistol, because I think, you know, if he's smart, I don't know if we want to start talking about the offensive side of the ball.
Let's go for it.
But I think the thing that Hawaii has going for them right now is they've got a fairly decent amount of talent in the backfield.
Mm-hmm.
Chris,
no, we don't have no more quarterback, right, Chris?
Oh, actually, it could be. Right now, there's four quarterbacks on the system, and two played significant time last year. Or one played significant time. Sorry, Max Whittick has graduated. But what we do know is that Boise State new offensive coordinator, from Eastern Washington offensive coordinator, from Hawaii offensive coordinator for months. Zach Hill likes a pass happy offense. If you guys ever watched Blood Washington play last year,
or Vernon Davis a couple years ago,
spread
Vernon Adams mean?
Oh, sorry, excuse me, Vernon Adams. I apologize. I get that mixed up.
Spread offense, but very much pass happy. And Vernon Adams was scramble, so you mix that into the two, and it became a very dangerous offense.
Well, that's good. If I kick it, Woozley's your quarterback. That makes sense.
Right.
No, but here's the thing, though. I just want to interject for just a moment. Are we certain that Ikaika Woolsey isn't the worst quarterback in the conference?
Hey, there is Kurt Palahniuk. Wait. Kurt Palahniuk could be a starter.
Okay, well, that's true. But, you know,
how many Fresno State quarterbacks Ikaika are there? Woolsey's,
oh,
there's four. There's three of them. Thank you. We'll get to them in a few. But what I'm saying is, you know,
maybe next week.
I've seen the Bulldogs play against Ikaika Woolsey like three times in the last 3 years. You know, and if you look at his numbers in that time, like, he's never had a completion percentage over like 50.5%. He's never had a better than 1-to-1 touchdown to interception ratio. He's never finished higher than sixth in, you know, or excuse me, like, I got to readjust this. Like, he was ninth in QB rating in 2014, and he didn't even qualify last year, but he was not very good. Like, he only had like what, five touchdowns, six interceptions in 13 games, a quarterback rating of 103.2. This isn't a guy you want to trust with the ball in his hands. And that's why I think they would be better served by being kind of a run first offense that, you know, kind of slows the game down. If that were me, that's what I would do.
Yeah, that makes sense. They got Bo Riley, who's going to probably, I don't think Woosley has not been named a starter. That could change this summer and fall, obviously. But Bo Riley's the other guy, got significant snaps in spring. But their running game, like, they have talent coming back, like Paul Harris. Rushed for 1,100 yards. They have I'm going to butcher the name. Was it Dice May St. Justy? He didn't play last year. And they have those two guys that should be leading their way.
We also forgot the Steven Nakalaka. I was about to say. Yeah.
Exactly.
That's three deep in running back right there.
Well, I was going by yards. He didn't have that many. He didn't play that much last year.
Well, so he spent, if I remember correctly, he was out with injury.
Yeah, he had 187 yards, but yeah, Lakalaka runs the ball. If Paul Harris is 1,000 yards, 1,100 yards, for a team that last year was from behind, had to throw a lot to try to get back in games. I think Matt's right. If they do, that doesn't even have to be pistol, but more of a run-based offense and give Woosley his spots to be successful, could be a way for Hawaii to maybe be redundant but successful.
Might I say this? They could always play the San Diego State game. You don't need a good quarterback to run an offense.
That's true. And I mean, and to that point, you know, if you look at what they return on the offensive line too, I mean, obviously they're losing a guy in Ben Clark who, you know, he played the most important position, left tackle, and he had 50 career starts. That was a 4-year starter. But the other four guys all played at least 11 games last year. All four of them are coming back. You know, one of them at least is on a watch list for the Remington Award, Asatui Eli. So, you know, that's a team that could ostensibly line up and just try to punch the opposition in the mouth.
And here's another thing. You said, oh, well, Ikeka Woolsey might be the worst quarterback in the Mountain West. We forgot that Hawaii played Max Whittick for the majority of the year last year. This is a man who was 47% completion rate, 7 touchdowns, 15 interceptions. Yet his biggest target is easily one of the best, going to be one of the best receivers in the Mountain West, Marcus Kemp.
Mm-hmm. He forgot 22 sacks for Stonefoot there. Behind this offensive line, I get it was green last year, but still 22
old
sacks.
Stonefoot Whittick.
Yeah. You're right. And then Dylan Colley, because I know he went to his brother's Austin Colley, for those who aren't aware, is a pretty good football player. I think Dylan Colley, I know he served at LDS Mission, so his last year coming back was kind of getting acclimated, so maybe he'll be a better athlete, because you hear brothers say all the time, oh, he's a better athlete than me. It's like, really? I don't think Dylan Colley is better than Austin Colley if you're at Hawaii, but if he's anywhere close to his brother, that's a pretty big get if he can step up. Him and Devin Stubblefield, those guys are top three receivers back, and if Woosley can get to what, like I said with Max, Maxwell Smith, which I dug Aztec fan throwing stuff at me because he wasn't a good QB, if he could be like 55% passing, that and with the running game in line that's there, that Chris is right. This could be potentially to be an offense that should be middle of the pack at worst, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, obviously they do have some talent at receiver. I think, like I said, a lot of it depends on someone getting them the ball, you know, because if you're looking at their catch rates from last year, neither of the two guys that you're talking about, Colley and Kemp, you know, neither of them topped 55%. And if you throw, you know, the other guys in there, you know, all of the four receivers that caught at least 20 passes last year, you know, none of them were better than 54%. So, you know, it's not a matter of being able to have someone get them the ball. They need to be able to catch the ball too.
That helps.
Right. But a lot of those balls for one, a lot of those balls were either overthrown, underthrown, just not on spot. These are talking about balls that were targeted, not balls that were probably actually touched. Now, the other thing is if you take a little bit look further down the receiving court, and for those of you who aren't following along, we're taking this from Bill C's giant Hawaii football preview. Can you?
Don't give away our secret. We know this stuff offhand.
No, we don't. Please feel free to follow, and we're just analyzing based off that. But
we know the names, but the stats particular help.
But Paul Harris and Stephen Lakalaka, both of those guys in the backfield, 14. Paul Harris was targeted 17 times, caught it 14 times. Stephen Lakalaka targeted 6 times, caught the ball 4 times. If Ikeka Woolsey or anybody else who's lining up at quarterback this year is able to kind of give a small wheel route or fade out the back, those guys will do some good damage for the team. And I wholeheartedly say that with the utmost optimism ever.
Yeah, you got a good point.
That too, because if you look at what Nevada done, because the best thing we could look at is Nevada for their offense, and their running game has always been, like I said, we don't know if it's a pistol, but part of what you need to do is catch the ball a little bit, like whether it be Dodd Jacks or James Butler, and that's always going to be something that needs to be done a little bit here and there to make sure that you can move the ball and not just be so predictable. So if they get, I don't know what to expect, but three, if each of those guys get 3 pass attempts to them and get 2 of them a game, I think that's going to be maybe overachieving a little bit, but I don't know. We don't really know what they're going to do, but I think that might be a good baseline if they get 5 or 6 pass attempts to the backfield a game, perhaps. I don't know. Or at least between those two guys.
I mean, I think especially if they want to be, if they want to have some spread elements to their offense, having a screen game that's efficient, that can get you, you know, 6 or 7 yards on a 1st and 10 or a 2nd and 10 to be able to set you up on 3rd down is something that could be really useful.
True. And that's also where Dylan Colley would come in, because he's a speed guy. So he could be, he's a smaller guy, but he could be that slot guy. But yeah, you have to have running backs as well. Can't just be the dumb, what does Boise State do all the time to Shane Williams Rhodes, Chris? They attempt that so often, it works 1 out of 6 times, it seems like.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although I think
with Boise State, it worked a little bit better.
It just seemed like it wasn't as successful as people thought would be, because when he caught the ball in different parts of the field, he was more explosive, but it just seemed it wasn't the best. But all right, so looking at it really quick, we'll move on. But the catch rate for Don Jackson, James Butler, only 24, so about 2 a game. So that's what I'm thinking, 2 or 3, well, not even 1 a game, actually. So that's what I'm thinking, 5 or 6 might be in the high end. But should we go to defense? So apparently I forgot about something, and Matt brought it to my attention. There were some shenanigans this offseason for the Hawaii defense. Shenanigans. Putting it nicely, I guess.
No, these are the shenanigans that Farva was up to in Super Troop. These are the ones that make you sad.
These are cruel and tragic shenanigans. Yeah. Okay, not too cool.
Yes.
Yeah.
Kennedy.
Yeah, who was
it? Kennedy Tuli Maseliali. Yeah, boy. Ouch.
Yeah, I mean, I remembered seeing a headline about this, so I had to go back and look it up. So he was arrested twice over the offseason. One of them was on charges he assaulted a woman, harassed a police officer, and resisted arrest. And then I think the other one was, I'm trying to remember which one was which, but he was, suffice it to say, he was arrested twice. He had already been suspended. Yeah, the second was
criminal property damage.
Yeah, and he turned himself in. He was already suspended from the team after the first arrest. And so, you know, what we want to talk about is the fact that, you know, this is a guy who might be the most important player on that defense. So I don't know where we want to start with it. What do we think this defense looks like if he doesn't play?
Because all it says here is that he's suspended from the team. No specifics about how long, or he's not kicked off. But as of right now, it seems safe to say he won't be. It just said that from the second arrest that he's still suspended. So they're going to wait for the legal process to play out. But it seems like he's going to miss at least that first game in Australia. But with 2 serious arrests against him, there was people like, who was the San Jose State wide receiver freshman last year? Something similar for sexual assault or something, unfortunately, in his first couple weeks on campus, first month, was kicked off the team. So it's a possibility he could be kicked off the team, but they're going to wait through it out. But without him, he's not just one of the best on the team. He's one of the best in the conference. I think I should pull it up here, but he's what, top 5 in sacks per loss or sacks last year, I believe.
He was second in he was tied for 1st in tackles for loss. He had 18 and a half. And I believe he had like 10 sacks as well.
So here's why I think the defensive line is going to be fine. Yeah, well, they lost Luke Schally, who didn't play very many games last year. Kennedy Tuli Maseliali is going to be a big hit. But at the same time, they got Corey Rasmussen coming back. He's pretty much your best nose tackle that you have on the team, followed by Penny Tito Fa'alolo. Sorry, I'm getting caught off by the names tonight. I caught the Germans.
That dude, hey, yeah, exactly. That dude's 5'11", 300 pounds.
Yes, which is beastly and quickly maneuverably.
It's a box.
Exactly. So considering that those 2 nose tackles are returning, you're going to have plenty of pressure up front, which is going to have a good rush stop and a good pass block. But look at all these other defensive ends that you have. You've got Kaʻalamoana Gifford and David Manoa, both defensive ends who played all last year in 12 and 13 games. How much they played, I don't know. But they put some significant time in. So they should be good, decent replacements. And then you have the rest of the crew all playing defensive ends behind them. Somebody, if they're rotating in and out plenty, all these guys should be playing significant time. And their defensive ends looked decent. I mean, they were able to stop the run pretty well last year.
Well, also, if you look at their versatile as well, like looking through the numbers, 9 players had 1.5 to 3.5 sacks. And so it's not just one guy getting to the quarterback.
Well, I mean, it's not necessarily about getting to the quarterback, too. It's being a disruptive presence, period. Mm-hmm. And they don't have any one guy who's going to be able to make up that difference. My biggest concern is not necessarily with the other guys up front. It's, you know, if you lose that disruptive presence along the line, how does that affect, you know, the guys that are coming in at, you know, at linebacker?
Because they're also losing 3 starters as well.
Yeah, I mean, you're losing another guy who was pretty good in Julian Jenner, Benetton Fonua, inside linebacker. Do we know if they run a 3-4 or 4-3 this year?
I'm assuming a 3-4 if they have nose tackles.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, how does his potential absence affect how they are able to kind of be a reactionary defense if he's not there to kind of disrupt running lanes?
It just depends. I don't like, so yeah, they guys who played, but that it's going to be a concern. They seem to be okay with who they have back, but you can't lose your top guy. And for look at the schedule, but the first month of the schedule is just brutal. And so losing him and losing half your linebacking core on a defense that was barely not even what 80th or top 80 run, like 80th run defense or something. I don't know how it's going to be better with losing your best player.
Yeah. Chris, did you want to jump in?
Nope. I'm sitting here listening. I said my 2 cents and apparently you guys slightly disagree with me, so
that's okay. That's fine, right?
So
well, I mean, I guess one thing you could say is that, you know, Hawaii has been able to bring in some transfer talent in the past, and that might make up some of the difference. You know, I'm looking at this roster of linebackers, and I noticed that Jeremy Castro was listed as a 4-star recruit by Bill C. And I had to want to look it up, and he came over from UCLA. You know, that's a guy who has a pedigree who might be able to slip in and, you know, be kind of a force in the run game and also as a pass rusher.
Sure. Yeah. And then you also see Solomon Matutia, also 3-star redshirt freshman. So maybe he's a guy who could step in and play. It's because his sat out last year, and if he's regarded that high, could be similar to that UCLA transfer. And then their secondary, they just have a bunch of guys back. Yeah, they lose Marcel Jackson to Queen Phillips. And I believe one other guy transferred. Did Nick Nelson transfer to Wisconsin, I believe? There's one guy that transferred recently.
I want to say you're right. I want to say it was Nick Nelson.
But they have, that's like, I believe that's their most experienced group.
Yeah, I mean, I think the saving grace there is that, you know, none of their division rivals especially are going to set the world on fire with their passing game.
So I would say zero have that chance.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, Bill C has said a lot that like experience in the secondary especially matters and lack of experience matters. So I think even if they're going to be shuffling new guys into starting roles, it may not be as dire as it would be in maybe some other conferences or some other divisions.
They're playing Boise State this year, so outside.
Okay. He said division. Oh, okay. So remember that.
Is Tyler Stewart not returning?
That's why.
Tyler Stewart?
I believe he is, but it's not like Nevada's known as a pass-first team.
They do have a Sean Henderson who's not stepping up yet, so I'll wait for that. I'll hold my breath on that one. Kenny Potter's pretty good, but he's got to throw to Billy Freeman all day. Come on. Nick Nelson is going to Wisconsin, so they lose him so as well. And really quick, I will talk punter for about 4 seconds. I put up a quick article last week. Mel Kiper Jr. put out his top 5 underclassmen and seniors. The Hawaii punter is number 5th, I believe, on the senior list.
Yeah, Ricobardo Sanchez. Really?
I think volume matters.
Absolutely. No. He was very good last year. And especially, you talk about punting situations, but he was almost as efficient even as a place kicker. Whenever he did get a chance to kick and score points, he was overall 8 for 11 from field goals, but 5 of 7 of those were from 40-plus yards. So if he gets a little bit more accurate and continues that distance kicking, he will be a plus, especially in closer games.
All right, so we get to the games?
Let's do it.
So who's going to be scribing this down of our records? Should I do that?
Sure. All right, so yes.
I guess I should. I could delegate, but I'll go with it. I'm okay. So, who wants to go to Australia in August?
I can't.
Anybody?
Otherwise.
Oh, man. Who wants to go to Michigan next week or Arizona the week after and back to Hawaii?
Well, you forgot about Tennessee.
No, we're at home.
I said back to Hawaii. That's a home game. That's why I said back to Hawaii. Oh, man. Their schedule, I was chatting with the guys in ESPN who had, 14-20 in Hawaii. And I'm like, if they can get 2 wins, that'll be like the miracle of all miracles in that first month. You go, because for those who don't know, they start off at Cal in Sydney, August 27th, at Michigan, September 3rd, which, by the way, that's a noon local kickoff, 6 a.m. Hawaii
time. And by the way, that is literally halfway around the world.
Yeah, exactly. And that first game, it's Friday night. I think it's 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific, I believe. It's technically Saturday afternoon in Australia. So what do you guys think of the Australia game then? Because the odds are out, and I think it's a 22-point Cal favorite, which seems absurd to me.
Yeah, I would I'd bet on Cal, especially, you know, there was a lot of talk that, you know, how is Cal going to replace Jared Goff? And I'm sure we'll get to this at some point later as well, but they did pick up a transfer from Texas Tech and Davis Webb, who, you know, for a spell was pretty good in his own right with the Red Raiders. You know, he's a guy that's familiar with an air raid type offense, and that's a type of offense I think could spell trouble for Hawaii in the non-conference action. I don't have a good feeling about that for the Warriors.
I think Hawaii could win this game.
Really?
Because both teams are playing in some weird location. Their offensive coordinator left. They have a new quarterback coming in. I just think it's going to be closer than people think, because 3 touchdowns is huge. Even if this game was at Cal, I wouldn't give them 3 touchdowns at home. This is going to be a game that's, I think Hawaii could win just because they have a more uncertainty. Because if you have a new head coach and a new system, because we don't know what the system is. Drolovich did what Chris Alt did. He kept a pistol. They know what he did at Hawaii as a player. They have the element of surprise. And like we said, I know we're probably overstating how good these teams are, hyping them up probably more than what they will be, but their offense, like I said, can be, I know average in Mountain West is nothing special, but week one, don't have no film on what's going on. I don't see why this could be right for an upset, because Cal, I don't think, is Cal going to make a bowl game this year? I don't think so.
We're talking about the same Cal team that pretty much dominated Air Force last year, and at one point was leading the North Division in the Pac-12.
Then they lost 5 in a row.
Did a very Cal thing by losing 5 in a row.
Utah, UCLA, USC, Oregon.
Right, those are teams that were ostentatiously better than them. Okay, yeah,
exactly.
On one hand, the 22-point spread isn't out of the question. I would take, honestly, first week of the season, I would actually take that. Just because how I know how good Cal can be, even though with the loss of Jared Goff, you still have receivers. And if you have an able-bodied quarterback who can just throw all day, yeah, Hawaii's going to be in some trouble. On the other hand, you're absolutely right. First week of the season, you're in literally a foreign place that American football has very rarely reached. anything could totally happen. Bahamas Bowl.
Okay.
Okay, so I mean, my whole argument with this is that, I mean, I'm thinking, is Hawaii going to be able to score 40 points against anybody this year? Because I think that's what it's going to take to beat Cal. You know, you're talking about a team that even despite losing a quarterback like Goff, you know, they averaged like in the high 30s the last two or three seasons, and that's something that, you know, the Warriors are going to have to contend with because they got a guy coming in that knows what he's doing with that offense.
It's possible. If you look at the ESPN F Football Power Index, they give Hawaii 11% chance to win this
game. I'd say that's about right.
I honestly think maybe I'm the optimist. I think it's a 50-50 game just because maybe I just don't like Cal. Maybe a few times I saw Cal when they played Utah and Jared Goff threw the ball over five times. And so it's like, maybe that's why I'm pinning this on because they turned the ball over so many times. But I don't think Hawaii will win, but I think Cal won't walk away with this easily. So, all right. So you would think Hawaii would get more off time. They go August 26th, September 3rd at Michigan.
Oh man.
I honestly thought there was like a week. I thought they had like I thought this game was 2 weeks before. I didn't think it was literally the week before.
I mean,
are they flying straight to Michigan? They should go from Sydney to Ann Arbor nonstop and just hang out to get used to the time because that's just crazy.
I mean, would it be faster to fly over like Central Africa to go to Michigan?
I will find out. You guys talk about the game. I'll look into that really quick.
I mean, the nicest thing you can say, which I don't know if it's, you know, repeatable or not, is, you know, these two teams played last year and, you know, they weren't able to get any traction on offense. But, you know, Hawaii held Michigan in check on defense for, you know, the better part of at least a half, right?
Yeah. It was at least part of a half.
So, I mean, I think that, you know, even despite the fact that they're replacing.
But also, it's Jim Harbaugh's early first year, too. It wasn't like now he's year plus in the system.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think,
and everything.
You know, even despite losing the kind of the big playmakers on defense, you know, Michigan's, you know, I know they're replacing their quarterback, at least Jake Rudock. You know, they still obviously have some talent, like, you know, everybody's favorite tight end, Jake Butt. I felt bad for laughing, but
it's okay. No, don't worry about it.
So, but I mean, that's a game that I think could be a little more competitive if Michigan doesn't take them seriously.
Yeah, and I totally agree with you. We saw this from Michigan against UNLV last year. Remember, UNLV in all vaguest sense of the word was not blown out by Michigan. They held their own.
Or UCLA.
They held their own. So if Michigan thinks Hawaii's coming in, they just flew from Sydney, we're just going to absolutely crush them and try and overlook this game. Yeah, I think it's going to be more competitive than Michigan fans would like. And then you'll have all the Michigan, and then you will have all the Michigan men harumphing for the rest of the half.
Okay, I'm sorry. I was thinking of the Ohio State game that Hawaii played last year. That was my mistake.
I mean, that's right. We're there. People are freaking out about that game.
Yeah, I mean, Hawaii literally had no offense to offer in that game, but they were able to frustrate, you know, the defending champs a little bit. And so I think that that's something that you can hang your hat on if you're a Warriors fan.
All right. Do you guys want to flight time? Yes.
Sure.
If you go to Sydney to Detroit, you do not go over Africa, unfortunately. You do go to Sydney to LA to Detroit area. It's about a 21 to 23 hour flight.
Oh, boy.
So I don't see the point of stopping back at Hawaii because playing in Sydney. Yeah, I think it's 6 p.m. Hawaii kick, which is actually earlier than normal. So that shouldn't be that big a deal for like jet lag and stuff. But then doing the complete opposite at 6 a.m. local kickoff, I don't know how you're going to, because I've never traveled, like, I never know. I don't know if, Chris, you've gone to Europe, you're going to Europe. I don't know how that'll affect you, but going from, like you said, literally around the world in a week, 2 weeks, really, maybe. I don't know how soon they'll get to Sydney, but
well, okay.
I don't know how they're going to do it. I think that Michigan's going to be a blowout. Well,
I'm sure, like, it will close. Be a blowout.
At least.
But at the same time, with jet lag, there are a few things you can do to combat jet lag. But if I were administration, I would basically not, like, I would just fly them straight to Detroit, straight to Ann Arbor.
Mm-hmm. It's like they've done before. They'll stay in the States if they have two games 2 weeks in a row. They won't go back to Hawaii, but I think that's a smart move because you try a lot of things. You can say, all right, we're going to stay on our normal time zone, which they probably do anyways when they travel to the mainland. But I don't know how it's hard to do that when you're basically 18 hours difference to, I think that it's Australia. So that's probably what they have to do. But I don't know. We don't need to discuss this game too much, but they're not going to win anyways, but it's just a mess. And then they go back home. They'll beat UT Martin. They'll be sitting probably 1-2. Then they get back up and travel to Tucson.
Yeah, that's going to be fun.
What do you guys think of Arizona? Their quarterback isn't set. Probably going to be a new Solomon. They're going to be, third or fourth in the Pac-12 South? But the Pac-12 South is pretty tough.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's another game that, you know, Hawaii will probably lose comfortably and get a nice paycheck for their efforts. You know, even though, you know, Arizona's losing a couple of big guys like Scooby Wright to the pros, you know, that's another team like Cal that I think could drop 40 on Hawaii and not look back.
But at the same time, how many points can Hawaii drop on Arizona?
And see, that's the thing. I mean, that kind of depends on what kind of offense we think they're going to come out with. Because
if it's a 40-20 game, yeah, it's 40, dropping 40 and not looking back. But at the same time, hey, you scored some points against, well, not a very good Arizona defense.
But how will your stamina be by this much travel? Because at this point, it's like, where are you? You know what I mean? Literally, where am I? What time is it? In 1 month, you've gone to 4 time zones to the furthest extremes almost on the world. So
Bill C mentioned something in his preview that those first 4 games, if all they have to do is just stay healthy, they might not have to pick up any wins. Of course, against Tennessee Martin, but they better be. Yeah,
no, they better be.
If they're able to at least stay healthy, up to that Arizona game, then October 1st versus Nevada, they should actually be pretty set to go in conference and might surprise in conference. So it seems that he's thinking that this whole non-conference setup might be just to prepare for the conference.
So you're taking the whole what doesn't kill you makes you stronger tack? I mean, I guess that's a decent argument to make.
Good, that's a good call, but a decent argument to make. No, it's true. I was checking their schedule just now. I was just hoping, like, I didn't look ahead when they played their first conference game versus Nevada. It would be a kick in the face if that was a road game after the bye week. But luckily, it's a home game against Nevada. And the West Division is not very good. We know that. The best, it's going to be San Diego State, should win it easily. And then I guess I would go Nevada for number 2. But after that, even Nevada, I'm not comfortable between Fresno 2-6 here in this conference.
Well, let's not get ahead of ourselves. Let's talk about Nevada. Nevada on the Big Island. Like, what do we think about that matchup?
We know what happens to anybody when they travel to the Big Island for in conference play. See Nevada 2010.
Well, I mean, you don't even have to look that far back. You know, even last year when the team was struggling, they were more competitive at home than they were on the road generally. You know, you're talking about like a like I think it's like a 70-yard swing in total offense between home games and road games. So, and I think, you know, starting with a team like Nevada, Nevada's not like a San Diego State or a Boise State, but they're not, you know, they're a middle of the pack team. Hawaii might be punching up a little bit, but I think that that's a game that they could win if things break right.
Absolutely. No, I totally agree, especially with Rolovich being coaching Hawaii now. But here's the thing is their home slate. I mean, you could talk about Nevada. Then you're the next home slate. You're going to San Jose State, which once again, anything can happen. Then you're returning home for UNLV. And we talked about this last year. UNLV Hawaii is somewhat of a mini rivalry going on. And when you have two teams with two relatively new coaches trying to basically do everything to make their teams better, I think this rivalry, especially with Tony Sanchez, is going to heat up a little bit.
Hey, very well. Now that they're also playing every year, for sure. Also, really quick, do you know Nevada has I think they've never beaten Hawaii at Hawaii. Is that correct? No, they have one win in 07. That's it all the time at Hawaii. Yeah.
Wow. I'm challenging you on this. I'm going to look that up right.
Unless I have this backwards, because I went to football.stacey.com. Unless I put it backwards. Right now.
So head to head. Maybe I have here. You guys keep on talking. I'm going to search this up.
Backwards. I'm not sure. Okay, look into that. So, Chris, what do you? Or not, Chris? Jeez, Matt. So, really, who's going to win, Nevada, Hawaii? Then who do you got?
I mean, if I had to choose right now, I would say Nevada. But I think that's the kind of game where the home field advantage and, you know, the talent gap is not that great, where I think that the Warriors could make it uncomfortable for the Wolfpack.
It's going to be a game. Like, I like Keshawn Henderson for some reason, because he's had some good games. If he gets on track and Tyler Stewart can get him the ball consistently and James Butler does what he did against Colorado State in the bowl game, Nevada's probably going to be my number two team, but that's one game, and Keshawn Henderson has never been consistent. So, and also,
no, it started out that way, but
I have it backwards.
Once,
did I enter backwards
it stopped
and I take
in 2011. It? Right now, Hawaii's on a 5-game losing streak versus Nevada.
I must,
but you were right up until 2010. That,
okay, I must have it backwards. And okay, I must have
against Hawaii.
Okay. Hawaii. Yes. Okay. Yeah, Hawaii. Yeah. So, who are you taking then, Chris? I would take Nevada in this matchup. Hawaii. Okay. All right. So I'm kind of keeping track. You guys need to keep track of your own records as well. I'm kind of doing that, but we'll do that at the end again, I guess, real quick to go for it. But so at San Jose State, I think this is more winnable for Hawaii, just because, like I said, you got Kenny Potter throwing to Billy Freeman, and that's about it. No Tyler Irvin, who has crushed any team he played last year. I would say Hawaii can get their first road win against the Spartans.
See, I'm not feeling that at all. I feel like Hawaii is the kind of team that's going to struggle on the road no matter who they're playing. So I would chalk that up as a solid win for the Spartans.
Oh, I think this can go either way. It really is going to depend on the kind of defense that San Jose State will have this year. You know, how well is San Jose State? Do they still have Christian Tago this year?
Or he yes.
Yeah, absolutely. And so
right?
If Christian Tago can lead that solid defense, I think this will be an easy win for San Jose State. If the defense doesn't get going, then I think Hawaii has a chance to pull this out. So right now, I'm going to say that San Jose State wins this.
Where would you guys put Kenny Potter? I know we're not talking Spartans, but as quarterbacks within the conference.
Top third.
Middle? Who's
Rippin?
The only who's really better there? Brett Rippin? Maybe Kent Myers?
Yeah.
Whoever's quarterbacking for New Mexico. Probably Lamar Jordan. Yeah. Whoever's Lamar quarterbacking Jordan? For Air Force.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I think it's Nate Romine again, I believe.
No, I would put Rippon ahead of him. I would put Nick Stevens ahead of him. And I would put maybe... No.
Is Nick Stevens going to be the starter for the Rams, though?
I believe so. Unless
isn't the guy from Georgia transferring in eligible right away?
I have no idea. We'll get to that.
We'll need to look into that when that comes around, but I think that might be the case. I honestly might put him number two or three, but we'll see. Yet I still say Hawaii's going to win. What gives? Chris's favorite game of the year, I'm assuming, almost favorite game, so Hawaii at UNLV. UNLV at Hawaii.
It should be. Absolutely.
Should this be the game where Deadpool shows up in Hawaii gear?
It's come in like old, like retro gear.
I thought that was great. So if we pick a game, not just that, but should this be the game where they wear their throwback uniforms?
Yes, absolutely.
Is this the most logical game?
Yeah.
Besides every game, I'm assuming, but just if it's one game?
Yeah, I mean, that and homecoming, maybe.
Well, it's either it's,
is that their homecoming?
It's not against Nevada. It is? It'd be UNLV, New Mexico, Boise State.
It's UNLV or New Mexico.
I think, you know what? I think retro games could come Boise against State. New Mexico too. New Mexico could break out those old turquoise throwbacks.
Oh, that would be nice.
That would be an assault on my eyeballs. Are you kidding me?
You're not a fan of the turquoise? I mean,
the turquoise and the green?
Come on, yes.
Anyway. I mean, what do we think about this? I mean, if it were me, you know, Hawaii, UNLV, I think that this is a game that the Warriors can win. I think that's the game right now that they will.
And at the same time.
We don't know the quarterback for the Rebels.
I have a feeling
that
Tony Sanchez is doing things at UNLV. But what things we're not quite sure yet.
Mm-hmm.
But
I
he
agree.
Is well on his way, and I think we'll get to the UNLV preview, and I'll be overly optimistic about the Rebels again. But I think that this game could definitely go either way. But I'm going to mark it down. Oh, I'm going to mark it down as a Hawaii loss.
A Hawaii loss. So am I, which is weird because I say the week prior they beat San Jose State on the road.
Huh.
I like the Rebels' defense because look what they did versus Boise State for most of that game. And like you said, first half versus Northern Illinois, first half versus Michigan, first half versus UCLA. They all played reasonably good defense against pretty good competition.
All right, so... What about at Air Force?
No chance.
Yeah.
This is true.
That's the game that got Norm Chow fired last year. Remember that? They got annihilated last year, and I don't see any reason why they wouldn't get annihilated again.
Especially up in the mountains? Yeah.
Watch your ankles, Lightman. Watch your ankles. All right, let's move on quickly. That's fine. Loss across the board. New Mexico versus Hawaii in Hawaii. Oh, man. No Jarrell Presley, we know that. They still have some other good players. Lamar Jordan, probably part-time quarterback. Dakota Cox is better be fully healthy by then. Because I was reading Bill C's preview on New Mexico, and we and Chris have been saying this for a couple years. If New Mexico's defense is just average, they're a really good team, which is why they nearly won the Mountain West last year in the Mountain Division. If they didn't choke it versus Air Force. So I'm thinking Lobos should just, like you said, one of the early games, I think you said, Matt, can Hawaii keep up with Cal? I don't think Hawaii can keep up with New Mexico scoring either.
Yeah, I would agree with you there.
But at the same time, I would have this out as a blowout if this game was in Albuquerque. You know, being that this game is in Hawaii, it might be a little bit trickier for New Mexico to pull away. That being said, New Mexico should easily win this game.
All right. At San Diego State, loss, right? Of course. Yes.
That this actually is a rare afternoon. Not, that actually also does a rare not afternoon work game to, in
San Diego as well.
That actually does not work to San Diego State's advantage. Right.
They're typically playing those 7:30 kickoffs Pacific time. The defense will just smother them, I think, in this game. That's all it'll come down to. Aztec's defense is just too good. And then you got Donald Pumphrey will just wear everyone down.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Okay. Boise State, same thing.
It's gonna get, in Hawaii. That's going to be bad. That's the kind of game where Boise State might do a couple of questionable things in the first quarter and have it sewn up by halftime.
So they'll do the flea flicker and end around deep pass where Thomas Berbeck tries to throw the butt ripping down the sideline.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that'll happen twice because Spurbeck can throw it reasonably well. Yeah, let's move on. We don't need to discuss that too much. So at Fresno State, this is back on the winning track maybe for Hawaii.
No problem.
Nice snickering there, Chris.
Hey, it was Jeremy who said he's putting Hawaii back on the winning track.
Maybe. It's a much easier opponent than San Diego State and Boise State back to back.
That's true. The way their conference schedule unfolds is kind of unusual now that I'm looking at it, because you're looking at, you know, back to back triple option teams at Air Force in New Mexico, and then the conference's best defense.
It's basically,
and then
the conference's it best basically offense. Was the Boise State screw you schedule last year, where you have to face Air Force in New Mexico in back to back weeks.
And
pretty much.
And it's also road home the whole way as well.
That also strikes me as really unusual because I'm so used to Hawaii having like home stands of two or three games at a time. But I mean, with regards,
you're moving in the right direction.
With regards to Fresno State, I think being more familiar with the Bulldogs than most, I think that, their questions on defense are outweighed by Hawaii's questions on offense. I think it's a game that could be competitive, but that's another game that I don't think Hawaii would win.
All right, let me ask you this really quick. I'm looking at ESPN's FPI Power Index, whatever it's called, and looking at the games, what game would you think would be a better chance for Hawaii to win? Fresno or Nevada?
Considering the home field advantage, I'd probably say Nevada.
Okay, would you be surprised by saying it's 41% chance versus Nevada and only 22% versus Fresno?
Not surprise me.
Maybe I get surprised easily. I don't know. I thought that kind of was surprising a little bit. Okay, never mind. So who's going to win then? What do you got? Is Fresno going to win for you, Matt?
Fresno wins.
Chris? Yes, no? I'll go to Fresno. And then UMass. This is their second best chance for victory behind Tennessee Martin, according to the Football Power
UMass
Index.
Travel.
Which,
you're making UMass travel.
I don't know what it means, but it's a good number to look at.
Hawaii.
79%.
It gets them out of the snow.
For Thanksgiving. Come on.
And cold weather. But I'm pretty sure, I'm pretty sure Hawaii wins, no problem.
They should, and I don't know anything about UMass except they're no longer the MAC because they got kicked out.
I mean, UMass is kind of an interesting team, aren't they? They didn't have a great defense last year, but there was a lot of times where they had a pretty good offense, and I think that's the kind of thing that can be really troublesome for Hawaii. Is it
an offense?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Obviously flying across the country from east to west isn't going to be an easy task, but, I think if you have a team that can score, that's the kind of thing that's going to cause Hawaii a lot of problems. So I think this is the kind of game that could probably be high scoring, kind of like a 31-28 kind of thing, or maybe like 38-35. But you know, again, I don't know if Hawaii has the horses on defense to be able to stop a team like UMass.
I think they will. It also depends a bit. It's last game of the year. How many wins do they have at this point? How injured they are, because their bye week does come at week five, but then they would go, what, not 8-7 straight games in a row? And so that's always part of it,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing you could say in Hawaii's favor is, you know, UMass is a team that's undergoing a lot of turnover. I have to go back and look this up. You know, they're losing their quarterback from last year, who threw for, like, well over 3,000 yards. Or not over, just under 3,000 yards, excuse me. But they're also losing, like, their top three receivers. You know, they're getting a guy back who was lost injury last year. But, you know, that's a team that will have questions, could have lingering questions about their playmakers.
I still think Hawaii should win this game. This will be, I think, their most competitive game of the year. But I think they'll be able to edge it out because it's at home. Maybe yeah, the UNLV game, but I like UNLV a bit more. I think I said that right. I said Rebels are going to win. Yeah, I did.
It strikes me a lot like the Louisiana Monroe game from last year.
Yeah,
where it right, wasn't exactly. pretty. I think that's
what's going to end up happening. Although I think it's going to be, like I said, I think it's going to be an easy Hawaii win. I think they're just going to struggle with it more. But once again, this season all comes down. I mean, right now I'm on the record for 3-9, right, Jeremy? But this season just seems,
I believe so.
So much we'll double check in a moment, but yeah. Can Hawaii stay in the first month? And if they do stay healthy in that first month, you know, that 3-9 can easily turn into a 5-7.
It's possible because they've had bad injury like the past couple years. Like, we joke about playing the quarterback, but it wasn't always because of ineffectiveness. You had who is the dude from Ohio State injured his shoulder like right when he came in. You have a Keke Woosley get injured. You have guys break their ankles. You have Max Whittick, whatever happened to him last year. It wasn't always they were a bad quarterback. It was an injury. Or the running situation with Joey Iwasawa out for most of the year last year. And then you have like Paul Harris. Oh, does a good job. You have St. What's his name? Dice May. I'm going to butcher his name. Missed all of last year, the other running back. And so there's not a reason for us to believe they'll be healthy, but health, it's not a luck factor, but it kind of is a luck factor if you're how healthy you are a little bit, to a degree, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, I think what you could say about Hawaii is, you know, they may not, I mean, they probably won't be much better than maybe the next worst team in the conference this year. But I think that they're going to be interesting because they have talent in a lot of useful places. You know, they have a running game that really kind of took off in the last month of the season last year.
Well, that's Joey.
I'm going to go back and look this up. You know, Paul Harris in November, four November games last year, averaged 6.5 yards per carry. You know, and granted, that was against teams like, you know, ULM and, you know, San Jose State and Fresno State, which didn't have great defenses last year. But you know, if he and the offensive line can hold on to those gains on the ground, that's the kind of thing that I think could make them competitive in a lot of games when it comes to conference play.
All right, so let's go over the schedule really quick. I need to write these down so we don't forget. Crap, my computer doing this pinwheel spin of death. Chris, you're going with 3 wins, I take it? You have UNLV, UMass, UT Martin. Is that correct? What do you get? What are you going with?
I have it at 2-11. I have Tennessee Martin and I have UNLV.
I think I also said 3-9, but I have the San Jose State victory.
It would be 3-10, by the way. They play 13 games.
Oh, they do play 13? I thought they played. I didn't think they took advantage of that this year. I guess they are with Australia. 4. You're right. I'm going to go. I'm gonna go 3 wins just because I could see them. So everybody's going. Matt has 2-11. Okay, 2-11 for Matt, 3-10 for Chris, and 3-10 for me. So what would you say? I'll actually start with this. My best case scenario for Hawaii is probably beating Cal, which people think I'm crazy, but I think that's a legitimate possibility. they'll beat UT Martin. They'll probably win five games. It's probably my best case scenario. You got Cal, UT Martin. I can see Nevada, UNLV, San Jose State, maybe New Mexico or UMass. I could say five, maybe six wins. I know I won't be that bold. I think five wins is probably the absolute best they could do this year.
You want to go next, Chris?
Anybody close to me with that, or am I just out there?
I think the best case scenario is also five wins, but I have a different vision for it. And I think a lot of it comes down to being able to defend kind of their home field advantage, you know, because I see the potential for a lot of really competitive games in conference play at home. You know, I think they're going to beat Tennessee Martin. I think they're going to beat UNLV, but it isn't out of the question that they beat Nevada and New Mexico and UMass. I think they're probably going to struggle on the road all year long. But, you know, the only really unwinnable game at home, I think, is the Boise State game. But if they can sweep all of the other ones, that's five wins right there. And all you need at that point, you would need to try and put together two road wins, because the rule for
you can have six as long as it's not two FCS teams. You have 13 games.
No, you still have to have seven. It's still seven. But six will probably get in, because like last year, a couple 5 and 7 teams got
in. So I think their best case scenario is they surprise a couple of teams on the Big Island. You know, they show more signs of life on offense than I expect. And the defense, you know, is able to kind of make up for the losses of their playmakers in at linebacker and in the secondary.
Because if you look at their home schedule, it's pretty favorable for who they play. Nevada's probably a bowl team. UNLV, probably step below a bowl team. New Mexico, maybe. Nobody outside of Boise State, I honestly think wouldn't be too out there, too crazy to see them beat UMass, New Mexico, UNLV, or Nevada at home. None of those teams are amazingly better than Hawaii's talent level. It just depends on a little bit of health, a little bit of luck, and making some plays. None of those teams are world beaters, and those games could all be victories, I think. They could lose just one game at home, possibly, in Boise State.
Yeah, it's completely not out of the realm. I agree with you guys. It's not out of the realm that five or six wins is absolutely doable. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think Rolovich's first year is going to be this absolute dream season. I mean, I think they're going to honestly struggle to find a solid quarterback to do what Rolovich wants. And if he plays status quo with either Ikeka Woolsey, it's not going to end up like how he wants. And you're going to set up for Marcus Kemp having a very disappointing senior year, as well as some others. But within there, you can find traces of hope. So I'm still set my three games, 3-9.
I think that's an accurate assessment, just because of first year coach, tough schedule, tough first month of the schedule, quirkiness, conference schedule. So let's wrap this up really quick. What's one game that would, I guess my game's already out there beating Cal. Is there any game out there that, like, our stupid upset pick we kind of go with all the time? Is it just Cal? Is Cal the simple answer for everybody?
No, I think if it were me, it would be Arizona.
Repeat the question.
Okay.
San Diego State.
What about you, Chris? Like, who's your stupid upset pick?
No. San Diego State.
Seriously, are you just doing that
to be a better team than both Arizona and Cal, right? You're talking about an in-conference game. You're talking about...
Yeah, but I'm also staying somewhat...
Probably by now,
okay.
Rocky Long and company have built up enough of a dominance in the West that they can definitely overlook some teams. Right. And so
they will be coming off a game at Utah State the week before.
I don't think it's feasible that either Cal or Arizona can be wins outside of that Cal that first season. But if it's Cal the first week of the season, everybody can go ahead and say that's a fluke. But I think absolute stupid upset pick. You're talking late in the season. You're talking either Hawaii's been spiraling downwards or just keeping their head just barely above the ground but not showing anything for it. And I think San Diego State could be a surprise.
Okay. Well, yeah, definitely would be a surprise. Okay, that's perfectly fine. I figured it'd be one of the non-conference games, but all right. So any last words on the Warriors besides bring it back, the throwback for every game?
I mean, I hope that Tulima Sealy gets to play this year because he was a lot of fun to watch in those big time non-conference games that they played last year. And he's a guy that if he does play, he will be a difference maker.
Yeah, I'm with Matt on that. You have a strong defensive end that can take you quite a bit of places.
I would say sticking with one quarterback is my number one wish list. Whether it's Ike Woosley or Bo Riley, just stick with one guy. Outside of just being, don't have a quick hook. Don't pull what Norm Chow did. Don't do what whoever made the call at Fresno, Matt, whether it's DeRuiter or it was David Schramm making that call. Don't give him the quick hook. Give him a chance to play. And there could be a reason to do so when you're playing the tough first month of these teams on your schedule. But that's how I want to see build some consistency. And I don't know. I just want to just don't get blown out after every week. That's just I hate seeing that. So because people like to watch late night football. But when late night football is competitive, that's even better because it's the only game in town. People are always on Twitter chatting about the game. Everything's happening, focusing on Hawaii. And that's fun. So if they're pretty good, or at least a competitive, that makes late night football more fun to watch, hooking up your Chromecast to watch it on Campus Insiders or whatever it's on. So that's Amen. What I want to see. All right. So that's our show for tonight. This is our week one or first preview, team preview. Like I said, we'll go West Division. Sure. Should we just decide now and go with should we go UNLV next?
Sounds week? Good to me.
Next show? All right, so we'll go UNLV. So if you have questions, send them to Twitter's the best way, at MWC Connection. Send those Rebel questions there. So we'll chat about them. And we'll have a show every week throughout the offseason, maybe mix in one or two extra shows if we have time or stuff comes up and we need to chat about news. But that's our show. We're less than 100 days to the opening kickoff. And speaking of those late night games, that Hawaii Cal will be the only game that night as well. So it's Friday night. Stay inside to watch the game. That's what we'll say for that Hawaii game. But MWCConnection.com. Leave us a review on iTunes or Stitcher.
Not sure.
I don't know. Can you leave reviews on Google Play? Anybody aware of that?
No idea.
Okay. Hey, let us know if you could leave a review on Google Play Music for our show to help us out. Like I said, 5 stars, but tell us how you really feel. If we're terrible, if you don't like any of our takes, let us know. We're cool with it. I think we can handle it, right?
Yes.
We good? All right, so that's our show for tonight. Check us out, as always, at MWCConnection.com, and we'll be back next week for our UNLV season.